Amen. Praise God. It's good to be here and to be together, to be with Him, to be in His hands. I'm grateful this morning. And I want to just tell us, just as we get started in a minute, we're going to read from Corinthians. Should have written this down, really. Didn't write down. But anyway, I think we're in 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read that in a minute. But I want to just kind of set the scene a little bit for us this morning in this way. So the other day, this is not uncommon in our family. So we were out in the car. It's day a bit like today. It's been a bit wet, bit of sunshine, driving along in the car. And then from the back of the car comes this sudden, excited shout from my youngest son pointing out the window. There's a rainbow! There's a rainbow. He spotted a rainbow. Okay, he does this quite frequently. He's impressed by rainbows, quite rightly so. So this is the thing. We were all in the same car. We were all exposed to the same scene. But Harry decided, in delighted enthusiasm, it was necessary to point out the obvious just in case we had missed the enormous multicolored bow in the sky. Okay? He does this for us. It's really helpful. So, come on. Come with me this morning. This is a picture. Okay, in the sky, there is an enormous, we've seen rainbows. Are you with me this morning? We've all seen a rainbow, right? So a rainbow, it's a good one, and it was, it fills the sky. So we've got this multicolored bow painting right across the sky, and we're all in the same car, but Harry, he's like, guys, just in case you missed it, there's a massive rainbow there. And it's like, thanks, Harry. Brilliant for spotting that for us. Great. So, one of the things that I get to do sometimes, and this is how I'm seeing it, I like to point out rainbows. And that's what I want to do for us this morning. I want to point out a rainbow. So, that is to say, it doesn't mean that nobody else has noticed the massive rainbow in the sky. I'm just pointing to it on purpose because I think it's helpful to notice certain things sometimes of beauty and of grandeur, and we're all in the same place, and we might have all noticed, but I'm just pointing out the rainbow. So how am I doing that? Well, one of the ways is simply this. I just want to draw attention to a couple of things that have happened recently as people have spoken standing here just in the last couple of weeks. I just want to draw attention to them, and then I want to try and give both of those things some connection and some further thought. So that's the plan this morning. It's a simple one. Let me read this for us. So this is the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and we are going to read chapter 2. So enjoy this. So he says this, writing to this church. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we did not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. Let me just go back over that. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them. He revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. How do we know? We're going to carry on with this, but come on. How do we know the things of God? They are revealed to us by the Spirit of God. That's the text. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. I'm excited about this. How do we know the things of God? This morning, how do we know the things of God? He, God, reveals them. He gives illumination. He reveals them to us. How? Through your natural intellect? No, we just read that. He reveals, he makes known the things of God by the Spirit of God that he has given to you. Wow, this is hopeful. Really? Wonderful. He reveals them by his Spirit, freely given to us. Which things, so those things, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or discerned. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wonderful. Amen. Wonderful passage of Scripture. Wonderful. The richness and the teaching and the helpfulness found in this one chapter is mind-blowing, really. It is how God works in your life, in my life, how he teaches us, how he leads us, what is he looking to, what is he relying on to communicate truth to us. What is it? It is himself. It is his Spirit in you and in me. Wonderful. I am so glad that he is not reliant upon me, or my intellect, or my natural abilities to come up with the things of God. Thankfully, he isn't. But he puts into every one of his children his spirit, his life. And he gives a new ability to see which you didn't have before. The natural man, we read this, the natural man thinks that the things of God are foolishness. Why? Because he doesn't have an ability to see spiritually. I want to encourage us, I'm doing this on purpose, I want to encourage us to grow in the things of the Spirit. That's the backdrop to this. We can, and we need to, and one of the things that encourages me so much about this, and we'll get on to this, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but we'll get on to this, but God, in Christ, He's opened heaven. He's opened heaven to you and me already. Already. We're not striving for this. God has opened heaven to you and me, and He invites us to go on. And this is the thought. This is what I've called this talk this morning. He invites us to go on into greater measure of Himself. It's like, man alive, if you have tasted of Him, if you have touched, if you've in some way have handled, if you've tasted of Him, what does that do for you? It puts in you a right hunger and thirst after the things of God. And it's like, more of the same. Lord, I want to grow. I want to know You in greater measure. How? According to the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit. So we're highlighting this for us this morning. So, step back. Here's the rainbows. There's two of them. Hopefully, there might be a few more along the way. We're just pointing to, right? So, a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, Chris Spicer, new friend of ours, he came along and spoke. And so, what I want to do, I want to highlight a couple of things. Because hopefully, you, like me, when people preach the Word of God, you're listening out for the Word of God. That means He has something to say through His servants, His ministers, to His church. Therefore, we should take it pretty seriously. It's like God is speaking and He has things to say, to encourage, to build up, to edify, to take on, maybe sometimes to challenge or convict, or even this biblical word, rebuke. We're not doing that this morning, but it's in there. And he speaks in all kinds of different ways, but God is speaking. And He does it in different ways, and this is one of the ways He did it. So Chris encouraged us when he came that every generation must learn to hear the voice of God for themselves. Amen? Christianity is not secondhand. Christianity, the things of God, the things of the Spirit, they're not secondhand. And God doesn't have secondhand handouts for us this morning. He has consistent divine originality every time. That's because He's God. Wonderful. So He encouraged us to hear the voice of God for ourselves. He encouraged an authentic originality which removes the need for duplication and grows in unique expression. I'll read that again. He encouraged an authentic originality which removes the need for duplication. It does that. Consistent, authentic originality which comes from God, it takes away the need for us to copy other people. We don't need duplication. We need God. So He was encouraging us along this line and also to grow in our own unique expression as the people of God. If I can put it like this, simply put, He encouraged us to be ourselves in God. Not to be ourselves separate from God. You don't want to know me separate from God. But He was encouraging us to be ourselves in God. Does that make sense? To be ourselves, but in Him, in Christ. Be ourselves in Christ. He has made each one of us deliberately and on purpose, that within himself we might express something which is honoring and glorifying to himself. So to be authentic, that is to say, to be true to the original, requires, and this is the thread that's going to run throughout all of this, it requires the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit in your life. It does. It requires it. It necessitates that there is active in you and me the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Without his activity in our lives, we cannot be ourselves in God. Because that's how it works. By his Spirit. This is what we're finding in that chapter. So to be authentic, to be true to the original, requires the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we depend entirely on the Holy Spirit for spiritual life. That is just like Harry pointing at a rainbow right there. It really is. To have spiritual life requires the Holy Spirit, spiritual life. And God has chosen, I mean, this is just ridiculously enormous. I don't have words for this, but God has chosen somehow to put into his children the deposit of himself. That's a rubbish use of words in relation to this. But it's true. God has chosen to deposit something of himself, his very spirit, into you and me. His spirit quickens and makes alive and brings to us an ability to see and an ability to hear which you and I don't otherwise have. This is exciting. This is really wonderful. This is how God has chosen to work in our generation. To walk, he encouraged us, Chris encouraged us, to walk by the Spirit, to depend on the Spirit. I'm putting some of this in different words, but it was all there. And to walk in the things Chris encouraged implies our need of the person of the Holy Spirit. To go on in God, to go on into greater measure of the things of God. I don't know what kind of response that kind of generates in you, but one of the things that it generates in me, apart from the fact that I'm delighted about it, is this profound awareness of my own need of him. And they're supposed to. That is a good thing. I am completely dependent upon the Spirit of God for the things of God. For them to become actual and real in my life, I depend on the Holy Spirit. And we all do. Whether we realize it or not, it's a sort of side issue. It's true. We all depend entirely on the Holy Spirit to grow in spiritual life. So that was Chris. Okay. So he's talking about the need to hear God and the need to grow in our unique expression, if I can put it like that. And both of those things, to be real, to be worked out in us, require the Holy Spirit. So it's just like, there's a rainbow. That's it. There's a rainbow. That's obvious. The things of the Spirit require the Spirit. But it's good that we point to the rainbow this morning because it impacts everything. It impacts everything. So Larry came along. You'll notice, as Larry's come a few times, Larry has the soul of a poet. It comes out in his expression. So he had a great phrase for us when he came. And so Larry came and he talked about what he described as the divine unveiling. It's good language, isn't it? The divine unveiling. I like it myself. It's great. the divine unveiling. God, he reveals himself. He unveils himself to us. How does he do that? How does he do that? He does it by the Spirit. So the need for the ongoing, revealing, unveiling of the Son of God. So this is the kind of the greater measure, the ongoing revealing, the greater measure, the continuing on greater measure that we need an ability. He was highlighting this because this is to do with the unveiling. It is to do with the revealing of the Son of God. We need an ability to see that which would otherwise be unknown to us. I hope this isn't mystical for you this morning, because it isn't really. It might sound it a bit, but it's not. We need, if we are to see with spiritual eyes, we need an ability which we otherwise don't have. Where does that come from? That ability to see, that vision. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Wonderful. The Holy Spirit The things of the Spirit, they are spiritually discerned. That's just a rainbow. But the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. Be exercised in this way. Be exercised in this way. The Holy Spirit reveals, unveils the Son of God, both to me and through me. The Holy Spirit. He unveils the Son of God to me. I love him. He reveals Jesus to me. Hunger for him. Thirst for him. He will reveal Jesus to you in greater measure. That's what he does. That's what he does. The basic ability to hear spiritually or see spiritually. This is what we've just highlighted from both of our friends that have come. The basic ability to hear spiritually or to see spiritually or even to be alive spiritually requires nothing less than the ongoing enabling of the person of the Holy Spirit. Our need of and dependence on the Holy Spirit is entire. And I would like to say to us this morning, the sooner we realize it, the better off we are. Really. The sooner this becomes real to us, the better off we are. Why? Because the Holy Spirit reveals the things of God to us and through us. Wonderful. I personally am convinced that the greatest need of the Western Church in our generation is the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. We have nothing without him. Nothing. In terms of eternal truth and value, we have nothing without the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And it is the need, I believe, of our generation. And if we are going to serve our generation well, this will be clear in our thinking and in our experience of God. And in the church at the moment, broadly speaking, on the one hand, we have relegated him to a doctrine devoid of actual experience. And on another, we have replaced him with an emotional experience which has more to do with the soul of man than with the Spirit of God, and it's tragic. It's tragic to see it in the church played out. People have replaced, in some places, have replaced the person of the Holy Spirit for what is more akin to the activity of the soul of man. And it's a distraction, and it highlights all the wrong things. Man, instead of God. And it's a danger, and it is all over the place. And we need eyes that see and ears that hear. But regardless of the various extremes, I really want to encourage us this morning to know God after the Spirit. This is just a rainbow, because there's no other way to know Him. There's no other way to know God except after the Spirit. And I encourage us in your life, in your personal life, pursue Him after the Spirit, by the Spirit of God. Everyone that has been made alive by God has been made alive by the Spirit of God. But although it is certainly true that the Holy Spirit is involved at conversion, our beginning place in response to God, He is certainly involved at conversion. It is also certainly true that we can go on to know His enabling and influence in our lives in greater measure. Amen? It is. That would be the testimony of men and women who have walked with God. That increasingly in their lives, they have gone on to experience God after the Spirit in greater measure. They have grown, if I can say it like this, in the things of the Spirit. Why? Here's another rainbow. Because God is Spirit. God is Spirit. No man has ever seen God. Why? Because God is Spirit. And we are to grow spiritually. And we grow spiritually in response to and cooperation with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Wonderful. Wonderful. And it is this greater measure that I want to highlight for us this morning. If we limit the activity of the Holy Spirit to His involvement in conversion only, we miss so much of that life which Christ died to make available to us. If we limit the Holy Spirit just to that initial coming to Him, He is absolutely active there. But if we limit Him to that activity, we miss so much of what God has for us in our lives and in our growth and in our greater measure. So I want to stir us up to pursue Him in this way. The world needs, I would say this, the world needs a church ablaze with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the testimony of the early church. What did they have going on? What has the testimony of Jesus Christ throughout His church from generation to generation? What has been the distinctive of the people of God? It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever that means to you might be all kinds of things, but it is the enabling, it is the divine dynamic of God active in you and in me, working out His purposes. And it is the distinctive of the church, or it is the distinctive of the church, or there is no church. The Holy Spirit. Let me read this to you. This is a quote from a book called God's Empowering Presence by Gordon Fee, and he said this: "Our theologizing must stop paying mere lip service to the Spirit and recognize his crucial role in biblical theology. And it means that the church must risk freeing the Spirit from being boxed into the creed and getting him back into the experienced life of the believer and the believing community. Amen. Amen. We must. We use theology to explain things. Theology is not an end in itself. It explains things to us that we might understand them, maybe that might help us to receive them. But it is not an end in itself. It is not an end in itself. And we must not limit our understanding of the Holy Spirit to a theological position. He must become experiential in my life. And in the life of the church, experienced reality of God. Don't be afraid of that. The experienced reality of God. We have known the experienced reality of God this morning in singing to him, in praising him, in exalting him, in knowing his closeness to us, the experienced presence of God. When Jesus died on the cross, he took on himself my sin, my self-righteousness, my cheating, lying, angry, rebellious life. He took on him sin and death. I don't know if you find yourself in that description of your life, but I'll tell you, it's there. And Jesus, at the cross, he took your sin and mine. He took sin. And he took it on himself. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who knew no sin. He was completely pure. And God, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. This is the next bit. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. At the cross. There's all kinds of things that are going on right here and that we could highlight, but I want to just highlight two simple points. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the cross. There's one side of that where we know and understand and are grateful for the reality that he took sin. It was on himself and he took it to the cross. And he dealt with sin and death forever. He conquered, he overcame sin and death. And he rose victorious over sin and death. He rose victorious. He reigns now victorious, supreme. Supreme. And so he took and conquered sin. But not only did he take and conquer and overcome sin, he rose victorious. And in doing so, he made available to you and me a host of things which would otherwise be completely unknowable to me. At the cross, Christ did this for you and for me. Not only did Jesus take on himself the sin of the entire human race, he conquered it forever. And in doing so, he made it possible that you and me, listen to this, you and me could become a fitting dwelling place for the person of the Holy Spirit. Resurrected Christ the righteousness of Christ, because of the cross, has been accounted to me. That enables me to be able to be a fitting dwelling place of the person of the Holy Spirit. If the cross hadn't happened, I could not be a dwelling place of the Spirit. But the cross has happened. And because of the cross, and because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to me, I become a vessel which is able to contain the Spirit of God. This is incredible. You and me. And I want to say to us this morning, take full advantage of this. Heaven is opened to you at the cross of Jesus Christ. Heaven. The riches of heaven have been opened to you and me at the cross of Jesus Christ because of Jesus Christ. Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Man, I want to take advantage of this reality. It is my reality. And I'm thinking, Jesus, I know that you have accomplished for me more than I am currently experiencing of you. So it's like thirsty. Thirsty for Jesus. How do we know the life of the Spirit? But by the things of the Spirit. The person of the Spirit. Because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, he has opened heaven to you and me, and he has made available a life in the Spirit. Christ's death on the cross gifts you and me a life in the Spirit. He has for you, put your name there, for you and for me, a greater measure of the things of the Spirit, of himself, to be known, to be walked in, and to be experienced. And I really believe that in the church here, some of us already are aware that God is stirring you in this way and calling you forward into new places in himself. God has opened heaven to you, and the riches and gifting he has made available is vast and it's free. Vast and it's free. What he has made available. And it's just like, come on. Come on with God. I say it to myself. Come on with God. What he has made available in the person of the Holy Spirit active in your life and mine and within the context of this local church and his church community around the world, it is like God has opened the treasure trove of heaven. You just think, man, I want to get some of that. Increasingly in my life, God has opened the treasure trove of heaven. God, I believe, this isn't an abstract thought, what's coming now. I really think this is actually true. So I'd just like to make that point before we move on. God wants to release a greater measure for us in this little church, a greater measure of prophecy through people who have never prophesied. I really believe that's true. Do you know that the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of prophecy? And he's given it as a gift to the church for her edification, exaltation and comfort, for her building up, for her nourishment. Gift of prophecy. And God wants to release the gift of prophecy in greater measure in this church. Desire it. That's a simple thing, but it makes a difference. desire to grow in these things. Don't be put off by other things that you may have seen, but desire, because it's there in Scripture, to grow in prophecy. God wants to bring greater measure of encouragement through people who have never moved in this way. God wants to give words of knowledge in everyday conversation through ordinary people. Everyday conversation through ordinary people. God has opened the treasure trove of heaven to you and me, and he does not expect us to live in poverty. God would release a fresh flow of his Spirit in your life. Amen. Up for that? Really, it's a real question. It's a real question. God would release a greater flow, a fresh flow of his Spirit in your life. He would bring a release of his Spirit in the schoolroom. Chris touched on this. He would bring a release of his Spirit in the boardroom, if that's where you happen to be. He would bring a release of the Spirit in the hospital, if that's where you happen to be. But he will bring an increasing release of the Spirit in your life. This is for all of us. This message is for all of us. It's not just for a few people that might be a bit kind of spiritually inclined. No. No, this is for all of us, because it's how God works and it's how we grow in the things of God. So I want to point out, we're going to stop in a minute because as usual I run out of time, but I want to highlight this for us as we do this. A couple of things, simple things. What encourages you to grow in receptivity to God, to the things of the Spirit? This is like another rainbow. It's just really simple. But it makes a difference. Simple things make a difference. So I want to encourage us as we're thinking about the things of the Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the growth of the dynamic of the Holy Spirit within your life and within the context of the church. What's going to help in your thinking? What's going to help? There's this word, availability. Availability. Just being available to God. That might be too simple, but it's a game changer. What do I mean? God has made himself, and we've been touching on this, completely available to you and me. To you and me. And we, in our heart attitude, in our responding to him, we can come with a heart attitude and prayer to God, which basically says to him, God, I am available to you. When that interaction happens, gifts begin to flow. The gifts of God, the Spirit of God begins to flow. God has already opened heaven to you and me. And I come to him in this way. I quoted this the other day. This is really old school, but I like it. And it was this song. And it just provokes something, and he says, to God, here I am wholly available. Wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. That articulates a whole disposition of life. When your disposition of life is unto God in this way, and you move out to him and say, God, I am available to you that you might work in me and through me. When that happens, I guarantee that you will grow in the things of God. Why? One of the reasons is simply because he's more hungry to work through his Spirit in your life than you are to receive him. And if you make yourself in heart attitude available to him, say, Lord, come in my life. I'm available. Side point here, don't do this to anybody else. This is like a health warning. Don't make yourself available in this way to anybody else. Don't open yourself in this way to anybody else. But to God, you are safe to do this. And you can come to him and say, Lord, I am available to you for your divine activity, for your purposes in my life. I am available to you. When that is an articulation of the reality of your heart response to God, seriously, watch what happens next. Because God will come. God will come. And he will grow his life in you. God is not looking for extraordinary people. He is looking for available people. He is looking for available people. And as we make ourselves available to him, he will come and fill us with his spirit, refresh us with his spirit, and equip us with his spirit. The open secret to the Christian life is a life in the spirit. The open secret to the Christian life, the real Christian life, is a life in the spirit. And I just want to point to the rainbow this morning and highlight this for us. And let me say this as well, is that in church life, this gets practical and real in different ways. And in church life, this church life and the way we do things and during our worship time, we don't leave massive spaces of silent reflection, usually. But within our times together, you can take opportunity to move in some of these things that I've been highlighting this morning. The other week, Johnny came up, didn't he, and he shared a picture that God had just provoked in his mind, and he just shared it. It's just like, that's, in one way, that's really accessible. That's really ordinary, but it's entirely supernatural. Entirely supernatural. That activity, that provocation of God is supernatural. And there's other ways that you might just be stirred in your own heart in a moment, and you might just want to pray in church. It's like, that's got to be a good idea, hasn't it? Praying in church. So it's like, if you feel provoked in yourself in response to God, I encourage you, there is room to pray. You might have to take opportunity, but I encourage you to like take the approach of jumping in with both feet. You might need to, but that's okay. There's all kinds of things God might provoke in you, just an awareness of something. It just kind of comes to your attention. It comes to your mind, and you start to be able in your mind to be able to articulate that thing that's come to your attention. Maybe God's given you insight about something and you just want to be able to share it. It's just like, good. There are gifts of the Spirit. And we can and should be growing in greater measure in these things. Key point, in your attitude to God, make yourself available to him. And you will grow in these things. And consequently, he will be glorified and his church will grow in substance and vitality in the midst of a thirsty world. Doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, either naturally or spiritually, the essential dynamic of the Christian life is spiritual. Amen.